We're ready? Shalom, shalom. Well, guys, I have thoroughly enjoyed being here, and honestly, I hate to be leaving. I just know that it's time for me to be moving on. I'm praying that Father will open another door, another opportunity to share somewhere else. I will tell you that it's interesting that through this process, I have learned a great deal about how to share more effectively what I'm learning. One of the challenges, and I'm going to be straightforward and honest with you here, one of the challenges in the Messianic has been that a lot of times as we come to a fuller understanding of the Word, that there is a difficulty in trying to express it, and sometimes it can even come across in a wrong way. And so this has been a great experience for me as a teacher to learn about how to kind of take steps and to build bridges, to start with what we know in the church, start with what I knew growing up, and then walk this process, and what does the Word teach us, and how can we build from places that we have a firm footing onto something even more firm. Does that make sense? And so for me, this has been a wonderful process. Now, it's been so interesting that and somewhat unusual. I don't think you recognize how unusual it is for me to be teaching what I've been teaching in terms of all of what the Word says in a church setting. It is unusual enough that tomorrow I'm going to be interviewed by a national radio program for an hour talking about what the process is and how to build bridges inside the church to help us as a body grow and learn and understand and maybe recapture some of the things that have been lost through history and through misunderstandings, maybe, as the church fathers didn't necessarily understand. Or sometimes, in many cases, to be perfectly honest, anti-Semitism was a divider and something that that directed away from our Hebraic roots the beliefs of the church. And so a lot of that is being changed. I've told you before that the Father seems to be changing something. He's doing an amazing work in the world around us today. And so tomorrow at noon our time, I get to share on Hebrew Nation Radio. I'm going to be interviewed on their morning show because it'll be 9 o'clock on the West Coast where it's recorded. But it's a syndicated radio program that is also on the internet and will be broadcast across the planet to people of Messianic or Hebraic roots across the planet. So it should be interesting. Y'all are guinea pigs and you didn't even know it. I didn't know it. At the time I didn't, but I've learned so much. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into some scripture, and we're going to look at some things this morning. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the time that we've had together. I thank you for the great blessing that this has been to me. And Father, I thank you that through all of this, we've had an opportunity to explore more deeply some of the things that your Word says. And I pray, Abba, that today as we continue, as we kind of wrap this thing up a little bit, I pray that you would, going forward, that you would take this class and that you would continue to work in them and that you would continue to grow in them a passion and a desire to know the fullness of what your Word says and what it means to walk in your ways. And so, Father, we ask that you would instruct and guide us this morning. I pray that you would speak through me, and I pray that it would not be my words, but it would be your words, and that you would guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit. We pray this, Beshem Yeshua Meshikenu, Sar Shalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning going back to a passage of Scripture that we've looked at before. And this is going to be a little bit of a wrap-up kind of piece here. And then we're going to continue where we were last week in Galatians. And we're going to look at some of the uses of the phrase under the law, so that we can understand that a little bit better in terms of how Paul uses this phrase. And again, we have, in the last 23 weeks, can you believe I've been here 23 weeks? I didn't think I'd be here more than 6 or 8, and I figured somewhere in here somebody would ask me to leave, and it never happened, believe it or not.
You told me that would happen very quickly.
I didn't think we'd last, you know, very long at all. So it has been a joy and a blessing. But where was I? Over the last 23 weeks, we've really been at very much a macro overview level in terms of what Scripture says. We've looked at some specific places and things. We've talked about the angel of the Lord. We've talked about the Memra. We've talked about what Yeshua meant when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We've talked about how Paul lived. What did Paul do? You recall that 2 weeks I hammered the phrase that my father used. What you do speaks so loud I can hardly hear what you say. When we look at the book of Acts, what did Paul do? And then the last couple of weeks, this being the third or fourth consecutive, we're looking at some of the challenging verses that Paul said. He was an attorney. And ultimately, his use of words that sometimes when we read it from our context, not from his context and not from what he was dealing with at that time, when we read it from our context, it sounds like he's undermining and changing things, when in fact he's not. His example all through Scripture that we spent 2 weeks exploring, his example is that he kept the Torah, and that the Torah is the measure of righteousness. It's the right way to walk before God. That the Torah does not save, it directs us to the Messiah. But when we come to the Messiah, we don't stop being obedient, it doesn't nullify what God's instructions for righteousness are. And so instead, what we can do once we come to faith in the Messiah is now the curse of the law has been lifted from us, and we can now begin to walk in his ways according to the Spirit and learn to be and to walk in righteousness the way the Father tells us to walk. And the Father, the Word says, I, the Lord, do not change, and his ways do not change. And we can look at Scripture. There are multiple examples in Scripture of things in the millennial kingdom and things after the millennial kingdom. Just read the last chapter of Isaiah. At chapter 66, verses 16 through 23 or 24, right in there, we're told several things. And those are things that are all yet future. And it talks about not eating swine or the unclean. It talks about worshiping on the Sabbath and keeping Rosh Kodesh, the new moons. You read Zechariah, and Zechariah 14, three times, verses 16 through 19, very clearly tells us that in the millennial kingdom, the nations will come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Booths, Sukkot, the seventh of the seven feasts that we have in the feast cycle, or we don't get rain. So if Father says that's the way it is in the future, and that's the way it was in the past, why are we doing something different today? And that's the question we have to ask, right? What I want to do, though, is before we really kind of get on a roll going back to looking at some things with Paul, I want to take us back to Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19. We looked at this passage before as one of our appetizers, and I want to bring it back to you because this is a fantastic wrap-up piece in terms of challenging you. And I'm not the one that's challenging you. If you're feeling challenged by this, it's because it's the Ruach, the Spirit of God, that is challenging you. And it's not my words. Recall, these are the words of the living God. Here in Jeremiah 6, 16, and following, it says, thus saith Yehovah, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old or ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Yeshua said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am easy, and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. Where did he get that phrase, you shall find rest for your souls? Right here in Jeremiah. He's talking about this. Every prophet, I said this last week, and I've probably said it before, every single prophet, Yeshua included, now he was the Mashiach as well, he's the Messiah, but he one of his roles, he prophesied, he's a prophet. Every single prophet that was sent to Israel always, always, always pointed back to the Torah. Always called the people, said, come back to the ancient paths. Come back to the ways of the king. Come back and walk according to what God says is the standard of righteousness. And so that's what we need to be doing, is we need to look at what is the standard of righteousness, and we need to go back to it, and then we need to echo that message to everybody else. Come back to the ancient paths. And that's what this passage is saying right here. But there's some very sad words in this passage, and so I want us to come on through because they challenge us. It says, but they said, we will not walk. Essentially, we will not walk therein. And Jehovah said, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, Jehovah here making a judgment. He's saying, you didn't do it, therefore, watch what I do. He says, therefore, hear ye nations, or peoples, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor my Torah, but rejected it. That word right there is Torah. Judgment comes. We are under the condemnation of the law, under the condemnation of the instructions that God gives us when we do not obey. God never at any point in history judged people for being obedient. He always judged, Israel was always judged for being disobedient. They were never ever judged for walking according to his ways. We've been told, we've been taught that, oh, if you do that, you're going to fall away. No, exactly the opposite is truth. Exactly the opposite is the truth. If you do that, you draw near. And I affirm, I reiterate, I've said this over and over and over. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by what we do. What we do demonstrates our salvation. James, faith and works. It's that discussion. And Paul's discussion, he's never against works. In fact, over and over, Paul affirms that we should be doing the things of righteousness. But he really goes after trying to understand what's going on inside the heart. Yes, ma'am.
He says, I am coming and my reward is with me. If there was nothing, there has to be something for reward.
Right. And rewarded for doing something.
Doing.
Right. Faith without works is dead. So what are the works that we're called to do? Over and over, Scripture affirms, this is what righteousness looks like. It's the halakha. It's how we're called to walk. Okay? So, fantastic. That's a big overview. But I want to challenge you. Seek the ancient ways. You're accountable for them. Be willing to wrestle with. We were having a good conversation before we got started. Be willing to wrestle with the fact that, you know what? There's some things that we've been taught that may be wrong. Seek it out. You are accountable for yourself.
And if he's declared the end from the beginning, you
right.
Need to go back to the beginning.
It hasn't changed. It has not changed. Okay, so last week when we wrapped up, it got cut short just because it didn't get cut short. I mean, we took the whole time, but we just kind of ran out of time. But we were in Galatians chapter 3, and we were looking at this passage here, Galatians 3, 21 through 25. And we covered it fairly well, but one of the things that I want to take us back to is I want us to go back and look for a few minutes at this phrase, under the law. Hupo-nomon. Hupo-nomon. Greek is a challenging language from the perspective that the word law, Paul doesn't differentiate between different laws. You have to understand the context of what he's talking about in many cases, to understand even what law he's talking about. We have the law of Christ, we have the law of sin and death, the law of life, and I forget, it's a total of 7 of them that he uses when you see where the phrases are. But there are...
Are they different words?
They're not. It's all nomon. Nomos. Yeah. But there are 10 different places that he uses exactly the phrase hupo nomon. Now, there's some places that the English translation will say under the law, but that's not what the Greek says. And in reading more, and again, I recommend J.K. McKee's The New Testament Validates Torah. This is a must-have on your shelf to learn and to understand the hard verses. He spends 47 pages just on hupo nomon, under the law, and the and the 11 uses in Scripture, which really are used only in maybe six different passages. And yet those passages are such challenging passages. And five of these uses are in Galatians, just between Galatians chapter 3 and 5. And Galatians, as we've talked about, is the letter of the encyclical that everybody wants to trot out and say, see, this is where Paul undermines the Torah and says we don't have to do it anymore. And yet, if you go back and understand, Galatians was written before Acts 15, and it's probably one of the earliest works that he ever wrote. And we see in his other works that he talks about the fact that we need to walk in obedience. It's just that the law doesn't save. The law or the instructions of God are the right way to live in righteousness.
How do you spell that phrase?
Hupo nomon. If you were to use a transliteration, H-U-P-O-N-O-M-O-N. Hupo nomon. I guess we could highlight this right here. Hupo, right here. It should come up.
It did.
Okay, hupo, and then nomon, from the word nomos. Okay, nomos, which is law. Okay, and right here we talked last week. Now I'm just going to remind us of what we talked last week. He's talking here. He says, you know, in the verse prior, he's talking about being all under sin, and when we're under sin, that places us under the law. And a better way to understand that would be under the condemnation or under the penalty of the law. And the fact is, the simple fact is that every use of hupo nomos in Scripture is easily and rightly understood to mean under the condemnation of the law. But we're going to look at him in a little more depth here as we go with it. He says, before faith came, we were kept under, and we can use the condemnation of, because when Paul's talking about being under the law, we're under the penalty of, or when we break the law, when we sin, there is now a curse against us that the law rightly places there, right? And we looked at the passage in the early part of chapter 3, Galatians 3, last week, where we understand that Messiah Yeshua redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did not redeem us from the law. And we talked about that. If you didn't see that, the recording's on my blog. You can go back. Or it's on YouTube now. The whole, you know, last few weeks that we've recorded with video, they're on YouTube. Go check them out. Pete Rambo. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. And if we understand under the condemnation of the law, then we understand that once we come to faith, we belong to Messiah, and we're no longer under the condemnation of, or under the function of the Torah as a pedagogue or as a schoolmaster to drive us to the Messiah. But that doesn't mean that now that the righteousness is done away with. In fact, it says that now this is how we're to walk. This is the rightness, the righteous way to walk. And we explained all of that last week. So what I want to do is move on to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And we're continuing here when we do this. I'll read continuing for context here. After faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay? For you are all the children of God by faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many of you have been baptized into Messiah, have put on Messiah. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither... It does that to me if I just bump that little thing. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if ye are Messiahs, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So continuing down here so that we understand. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, okay, subject to He took on, ultimately what he did is he took on the condemnation, the curse of the law. So he's under the curse of the law, or under the condemnation of the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Redeem here is the key word, right? The function of Yeshua when he came was to redeem us from the curse, to take upon himself the curse so that the curse would not fall on us. And so when we look at this passage, we understand that he came. He was without sin. Scripture's clear on that matter, right? But he came for the purpose of taking on the condemnation of the law so that we might not be under the condemnation of the law. But then as sons, your sons, then as sons, it should lead us to understanding. We should begin to walk as the children walk. We're grafted in, and we now be obedient to the things that the Father says. This is how you love me. This is what I expect of you, right? We have grace in Messiah when we fail. However, our goal should be to walk rightly, not to just flagrantly do whatever we want and expect the grace. What does Romans 6, you know, should we continue in sin now that we have grace? He says, by no means, right? Okay, so moving on to Galatians 4:21. Again, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, or under the condemnation of law, do you not hear the law? This is interesting reading about this passage with J.K. McKee, and Brad Scott has some great teachings on the whole under the law pieces and all the different uses. But it's right here what Paul is doing is he's using some irony, or he's using a little bit of sarcasm in addressing or dressing down. Recall, we talked last week about the situation going on in Galatians, and we talked about the fact that they were dealing with Judaizers who were coming in and teaching proselyte conversion to Judaism. And proselyte conversion operates under the code word, or the umbrella word in Second Temple Judaism, of circumcision. You go back to Acts chapter 15, verse 1. It says the party of the circumcision came down, or they came down and they said, you've got to be circumcised to be saved. They weren't talking about just cutting the foreskin. They were talking about keeping the oral traditions. They were talking about doing some of the other things that were prescribed according to them for the purpose of being received as a proselyte, as a convert. Because they wrongly believed that you have to be Jewish in order to be one of God's people.
And
that's not true.
From our Hebraic roots, we don't understand that word circumcision.
Right.
We misinterpreted and misunderstood.
Right. Right. It's a matter of going back and understanding what was going on at that time frame that Paul has to address. So Paul here, when he's talking to him, he uses a little bit of irony and sarcasm. He says, tell me, you that want to be under the curse of the law, do you not read the law? Don't you understand what the curse is? Don't you understand that by doing what you're doing, a works-based deal? The oral traditions, you're now adding to the law. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, don't do it, or you've broken the law. And he says, by adding to, you're breaking the law and placing yourself under the condemnation of the law. He says, is that really what you want to do? No, of course not. It's not about, he's not saying don't keep it. He's saying don't add to it. Don't be obedient to a bunch of men that are teaching you traditions that aren't anywhere found in Scripture. So, and we're moving very quickly through these. I would encourage doing some of the study, going back to...
I'm going to send out the links to Brad Scott.
That would be great. Because Brad Scott's got a lot of good stuff written about these phrases under the law. He's done an amazing amount of study and work, highly respected. He says here, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not... See, we read under the law, and that means, then we don't have to do those things. But see, the Spirit will never, ever contradict God's Word, His written Word. And the written Word will never, ever contradict the Spirit of God. So there must be something else going on here. let's back up just a little bit. And it says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the condemnation of the law. How do we know that we're led of the spirit? We're no longer under condemnation. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua, right? He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, so on and so forth. And the point that he's making is that if you're led of the Spirit, you're not going to do those things. And all of those things are contrary to the law. If you do those things, you're under the condemnation of the law. You can't be led of the Spirit. So again, the phrase, under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the condemnation of the law. But you're also not going to walk according to the things that the law says are wrong. Right? The law says, no adultery, no fornication, no uncleanness. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is I'm pretty sure that's where it is. Let's see. Nope, it's 2 Corinthians 7. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this comes right on the heels of the phrase where he talks about not being unequally yoked and not partaking of the unclean. Touch not the unclean thing is what he says at the end. And he's quoting the Torah. So when Paul tells us no uncleanness back in Galatians, where we just were, Galatians chapter 5, he's not just talking about an abstract spiritual deal. He's talking about physical. And scripture right here. And he says, don't. He said, have therefore, he says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. It means we can be physically unclean. And that doesn't mean we need a bath. What it means is that we need not be touching those things that Scripture says are an abomination.
It's in the Torah. Clean and unclean.
It is. It is. It's the clean and unclean. So on and so forth. So those are the Galatians passages. And again, we're moving very quickly. We've got very little time left. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Here's a passage of Scripture that often gets misused or is misunderstood. Paul is giving a little bit of a statement here about his mission and how he views ministry and what he does. And he makes the statement, he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, or under the condemnation of the law, as under the condemnation of the law, that I might gain them that are under the condemnation of the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Okay, just reset it and start it over. See if you can keep it recording. Okay, thank you. You got it going again? Cool. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the Torah to Messiah, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And there are many who will look at this passage and say, see, he ate pork when he was with the Gentiles, and he was clean when he was with the Jews, and he just was this chameleon, and he would say whatever he needed to say to try to get people to understand what he was talking about in terms of the Messiah. And that makes that turns him into a sleazy politician. And that's just not even possible when he then has the audacity in Acts, as we looked at 2 weeks in a row, the audacity in Acts to say, I never broke the Torah. I never walked contrary to the law of the Jews. And if you understand that right there, and if he's saying here that he did whatever it took, then he's a liar. Let's understand this a little bit more in the context of what's going on. Let's be real honest. When we deal with the Jews, even today, if we're witnessing to the Jews, there are some special social and cultural steps and the cares that we need to take so that we might be heard. Among those is to respect their oral traditions and let the Father deal with that. But for us, it's a proper thing for us to respect those that are not contrary to the Torah. That way, we can be to the Jews as a Jew that we might be heard. We might be able to bring some. You know, there is, I'm going to get off track here for 2 seconds, but there's an amazing awakening to the Messiah among the Jews today. And you know why? You know who's leading the charge? Now, I believe it's a work of the Father. Don't misunderstand me. I believe it's the Spirit doing His thing. But the reason is because they are witnessing something happening across the planet of people who are falling in love with the ancient paths and are coming back in obedience. And they're talking about a Jewish Messiah rabbi who came and taught the Torah rightly. And they see that and they're going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe we missed something with Yeshua. And when we are willing to walk in the context properly and then reach out in love, not telling them everything they've done wrong, because we've done a whole lot of wrong ourselves. When we do that, then it opens the door and sets the table and allows us to have a platform to speak to them.
Let me make a comment on under the law there. Again, my concern over Torah, our understanding of that point. Most often in the scriptures of Paul, where law is utilized, it is not in our concept of laws of specific items. Law here really means the Pentateuch, means all of God's guidance in the 5 books.
Right.
So again, when I call for us to reinterpret the use of the term law, it is really in reference to God's instructions through the Pentateuch as a whole.
Right.
The law and the prophets.
And absolutely, once before you talked about that, and that's one of the great misunderstandings in Christendom, is what does the term law mean?
But even here, it's not speaking about the 10 words.
He's not talking about just the 10 commandments. He's talking about
the Pentateuch,
the 5 books of Moses, right, the 5 books of Moses, and it is God's instructions. Again, we talked about this once before in terms of when Paul's talking about that, this is instructions. It's God's loving instructions. We need to be careful not to bring our understanding of law.
No.
It's the best word that the translators had, but really they should have written the instructions for most everywhere that he's speaking of the Torah. And when we talk of the Torah, we're talking about the 5 books of Moses. Now, are there instructions in the prophets that are good for us? Absolutely. Are there instructions in the New Testament that are good for us? Absolutely. Paul said all scripture is inspired and profitable for training in doctrine and righteousness and so on and so forth. And training there comes from the same root as pedagogos, as we talked about last week, and it's about leading us to the Messiah and training in righteousness, how to live properly.
But he's also coming back as a lawgiver, the lawgiver. That there, if a king comes, he has to have a law, and his law is
right.
Torah.
Right. The king, the line of the tribe of Judah, will return, and he will be giving a law. He will be teaching. And it says, and the law will go forth from Zion. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Malachi chapter, or it's Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, same thing. And it talks about the fact that the Torah will go forth from Zion. We've got 3 minutes left, and so I'm going to, the last place that this is used is Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. I'm not going to go there just for lack of time. I want to wrap up with this. I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you. You've been challenged. You've been seriously challenged over the last few weeks. And I want to encourage you that there are great blessings for walking in the ways of the Messiah. He promises that. Scripture promises that over and over and over. And it tells us that this is the way it's going to be in the future. And this is the way it was in the past. And a God who doesn't change, Yeshua, the Messiah, doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, I think. Somewhere right in there. It tells us that he doesn't change. And we have to understand that if God doesn't change, Yeshua doesn't change, his standards of righteousness don't change. And so today, right now, at this point in our lives, we need to be asking, why aren't we walking in fullness according to that? And I would encourage you. I would encourage you. Let me close in prayer. Father, it has been a blessing. It has been a joy to spend time with this class. And Father, I thank you for everything that you have done here. I thank you for the opportunity, and I thank you for the blessing that it has been to me in terms of what I've learned as I've continued to dig into your word and learn to better understand and defend and present those things that are in Scripture that tell us what your ways are and what it is that you desire for your people to do and to be, and how you desire for us to walk so that we might walk as Messiah walked. Father, I pray for this class. I pray for those who may not have made it here today but have been with us along on this journey. And I just ask you, Abba, that you would encourage them in heart, that you would strengthen them in spirit, and that you would challenge them to continue to move forward and to dig deeper, and that you would challenge them to learn to walk in your ways and to begin to take on those things that your word says are righteousness and those things that say that you instruct us in so that we might be holy and live lives that are set apart. So I just thank you. And Father, I pray, just as you gave through Moses to Aaron this great blessing, and I give this blessing here, Abba, it's a blessing that comes from you, and I place this here. Yivarekecha Yehovah vayishmerecha Ya'er Yehovah panav elecha vihunecha Yisa Yehovah panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah make his face to shine upon you. Yehovah be gracious to you. Make his countenance shine upon you. B'shem Yeshua Meshikenu, sar shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Prince of Peace. Amen.